Hi, and welcome back to the Adaptives podcast. This is another guest episode we have. This time we're talking to Aaron Murray, who is from Ken Cook. Well, Aaron, do you want to tell us about Ken Cook and about yourself?
Sure. So my name is Aaron Murray. I'm the Director of Customer Engagement and Training Services for Ken Cook. We're a 75-year-old company that focuses on three key industries, heavy equipment, automotive, and marine industry. That's really the only places we really live for doing things. And we're a technical communicator. So essentially, we help deliver technical information or operator information to these manufacturers is our goal. And we do that through multiple different ways, through direct live training, through e-learning, through even building out manuals and basic documentation and things like that, communication information. E-learning is a big chunk of that, especially nowadays with some of the strategies that we have. So that's kind of a basic idea understanding for me. But myself, I've been working for the company for about 6 years. And before that, I was with companies like Crocs, where I was managing all the global training for that. And then before that, I was also with Apple for about 10 years as well, doing training as well. So,
cool. And you're here on this episode to talk about what you've coined just-in-time learning.
Yeah. So a big methodology within manufacturers is just in time. So like getting just in time apart, just in time for, something to be able to deliver so that the item can go out or ship or deliver out to somebody. So in this specific case, like we do just in time training is what we talk about. And so the thing is that we started talking about, like, well, you know, how do these guys find information? How do they actually locate the information? So they spend these days in the classroom, they leave and they go back to the field and they're like, okay, how do they find the information? What we found out is the retention on this data that they were doing in these classroom environments just weren't beneficial. The overall retention after 2 weeks is pretty much down to about 10% of the information that they actually retained is available to them. So we're like, okay, how do you actually find the answer if you don't know how to do something out in the field once you get out there? A lot of them they're openly saying like, yeah, I go to YouTube or Google. And so they're going to go to Google and YouTube to find out how to fix something, like how to replace this tire, how do I fix this part, how do I do that? And the thing is that that's a huge red flag, because you don't know Billy Bob down the street is building out a piece of content that's showing them how to do it and could be board warranty, all these wrong ways to possibly do it. Or they could be doing it perfect. But the truth is that these vendors are then you're trusting the public source to be able to do it. So what we've done is we've actually helped out companies by switching over to Adapt and building out a mobile strategy for this type of training. So converting that training that they do in a classroom into a interactive online training platform. So it's still done online, but it's done in the classroom at the same time. And basically what these people are doing, instead of facilitating and going through slides, is they're teaching them how to find the information when they actually truly need it. So what we do is utilizing Adapt, we'll use things like hyperlinks and things like that, build out QR codes, even use things like beacons or RFIDs, stick them on the different pieces of equipment in a classroom. And as a person goes into the classroom and engages in it, it goes to the specific area. And based on time of day, based on what location, what part they're using, it's going to have it automatically pop up that specific data and information they need or that lesson plan to learn how to do that specific piece. And so that's now trackable, gets all the data. And the nice thing about then with Adapt, it gives us that XAPI integration. So the LRS is kicking out what they saw, how long they spent, what time they spent on it, how did they watch a video, did they interact with it, what did they do on it. So we're getting this really great data so we can actually see what's beneficial and what's not beneficial, where we can openly tell that by that data. Obviously, you still have to ask them and get more data, but Adapt really does a really good a job of making sure that data is available to be able to look at. And what we're doing also is using things like the search tool built into Adapt, so a person can then, after they're back out in the field, they can literally just go and say, how do I change this specific thing? And boom, it's going to jump into those sections within Adapt so that they don't have to go and go through all the different pieces or through an e-learning going through all these different modules. They can literally just jump to the sections that they truly need to get access to. And the nice thing about within Adapt too is they can use that search to also do things like a glossary. Like, I don't know what that term means or that word means or anything like that. They can actually reference and pull that stuff up. Now, the best thing, though, about Adapt is its mobile-first design strategy. So all the training content that we build out for these different companies, we're focusing on making sure that it's on a phone first. So the person does have an ability to be able to go in, search for a piece of content, find what they need, get access to it, and right where they want it. And most of these guys all have phones. And for those that don't, the truth is – the cool thing about Adapt is you can actually even build out so you can export out to PDF. There's other tools that allow you to do that kind of stuff. Or the way we build it out, we have access to like the manuals. So you have a little slide drawer that pops out on the side and the person can download the full PDF manual or print it out themselves. So they have the printed manual to go along with it as well. It's worked out so well for a lot of our different customer base. And this strategy is a different strategy. It's very difficult to implement, but the cool thing is that once you do it and you put it in place, the overall savings, the time involved in training these people to do it, it's such a drastic overall retention rate on these things. It's pretty amazing on the results that we've gotten from it so far.
Aaron, when you've got to a course or a module that qualifies as just in time learning, can you give it a sense of how that kind of course might look or appear differently from something that is a more traditional learning course?
Sure. So if we look at like a very common thing, like people using like Captivate or Articulate or any of those other ones out there, not to say there's anything wrong with those tools. And there are places for those tools as well. But that slideshow kind of presentation, it's the same as the person standing up in front of somebody and giving that presentation. And to be honest, when you need that just in time, you're looking for just the piece you need when you need it. So if you educate them on how to find the answer, again, remember we talked about those technicians going back out in the field and they're searching via Google and then they're finding that random video to be able to do it. This way, you're giving them that same kind of tool set, but you're doing it from an internal standpoint. So a large corporation can put that out there, build it, and then that person can search exactly what they need when they need it or find those different topics within, you know, the specific OEM version or the equipment manufacturer's version of that kind of content. And to be honest, like it's not always perfect. When we actually build it out for these companies, we don't always know that the search information is going to be correct. And to be honest, we always say we're always going to try to get our target is 70%. We're trying to get to 70%. If we can get you to 70% correct, where we're helping out 70% of your people, that's our target. And then we're looking to grow that. And the way we grow that is by using the XAPI data from Adapt. That says, okay, the person are looking for this. They're looking for this. They're using other terms that we didn't think about that don't help them find those things. So if we use that data, we then improve the keywords or improve the type of content as well. So just recently we had a company that their interactive materials is all they wanted to use. They're like, no, we want to spend money on animations and build out this. Great. No problem. We'll build it out that way. And then it turns out, you know, how many of those animations were being used? Almost zero. Like nobody really cared about the animations. What they did care about though was getting the answers. So they wanted to be able to find a video. So having a video that walked them through and showed them versus an animation was literally a third of the cost, helped reduce their cost for the end environment. And the end user wanted that video content. So we increased their video content. We saw a massive uptick in overall usage. The feedback that was coming back was more positive. And again, it allowed the customer to know, hey, don't waste your money on these specific things for this audience, because again, the audience data is saying this, and that can be completely different depending on what manufacturer or whatever. So I'm not saying that animations are bad. I'm just saying in this specific case, videos were a better option for that. And the cool thing Adapt gave us that data using an LRS integration was really, really quite well. Does that answer your question, Chuck?
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, I just want to say how Adapt is really navigable. You know, it has the scrolling, it has the search extension, you can jump anywhere. Like I don't think those slide based authoring tools are nearly at the same.
Yeah, some of them do have the search function built into them, but then you're still jumping to that one slide, right? So whereas with an Adapt, you can actually, it bundles them and packages them together, so you can just quickly flip between those things. And that top down scrolling kind of function really works out really well, and people are used to it, right? People are used to flipping through TikTok or flipping through Facebook and things like that, so people are used to that reading kind of function in it. And it's just one less thing you have to educate or teach people. I remember when we first did our first Adapt course, we were really concerned about the end users and what they were going to actually feel. And we actually openly told our customer, hey, we're going to cover your support for the first 3 months for no charge, because we want to get the feedback and know what's going on. And we had almost zero issues with people utilizing it. In fact, it actually dropped substantially than other customers that we did courses for before we used Adapt. And it's simply because people just, they understood, they adapted to the understanding of how to actually learn it. And they're just going through the scrolling function and understood exactly how this should work. It wasn't an issue of, hey, the next slide's not working or the timing out and things like that. It's very much just scroll through and go to that next function. It did a really good job. And again, on a mobile device. Yeah. And if you design in that same manner for, I think, education, it makes a big difference. And again, these people don't even think of it as e-learning is the honest truth. A lot of them, they're just looking at it as a reference guide or a finding tool or location. It's the same as them using a manual in a lot of their cases out there, and except to giving them more advanced data. It's more of that interactive manual, but that just-in-time strategy just works really well.
Yeah, I think that Simon, both Simon and I have experienced that in our own development work, where we've seen companies more frequently design learning more as a reference than as a traditional course, where you are stepping through a topic concepts and then how to implement them. And I think that that's right in line with your experience.
Well, to be honest, we actually do design the course, again, depending on the audience, we do design the course with that in mind. So the idea that you still have a linear flow of how things should go or what needs to be done within a specific time frame, but then you make it so the content is also more of that fragmented piece so that each individual section that you're building out can stand on its own. So it doesn't have to have, like, I need to go back and read the previous three to understand what that one meant, which is very common in training. So it is a different methodology of building out the content as well from a e-learning or from a instructional design standpoint as well. It is a different methodology. It takes a little bit of work because people really have that mindset of, like, it has to be this way, this kind of function. Whereas, you know, the best way I put it is The Simpsons. Most people know what The Simpsons are, right? Like, every single episode, you could sit down and understand and watch The Simpsons. Like, you'll get it end to end. It doesn't matter when you watch it. It's been on for 30 years. You watch one episode. You don't need to know what happened the time before. And that's kind of the way we build out the e-learning content. You're still building out so it has that linear approach, but at the same time, you could just look at one section and completely understand that specific topic.
Aaron, earlier you had mentioned QR codes, and I don't know if it directly relates to this, but is there some connection between those QR codes that were being used by some of your companies and these segments of learning, the modules of learning?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So we do it three different ways, depending on what we're trying to do. And QR codes is just the easiest way to implement because it just references a URL. And the cool thing about ADAPT is it has its individualized URLs within those functions. Just makes it really nice and easy to target those things. So actually, to be honest, if you buy a piece of Bobcat equipment, and you go over and you use your phone to scan a QR code on their buckets, and it'll have a little place that'll automatically take you to the training content and where that training content is for that as well, which is kind of cool. You know, and it gives you that very specific reference material. But we have other customers that are doing it very, very targeted, where it goes down to not just simply the entire piece of training content, but the actual content down to the fragment. So, we have a technical company that I can't say the name, but it's an automotive manufacturer. They're rather large. You could probably figure it out by going to our website, but they're rather large. And essentially they built out their stuff with using the QR codes or beacons, where the reason the difference between a QR code is you scan it, you get that specific thing. But the beacon, you can program time of day, geolocation, you get all these different things. And they also don't want all that content to always be available outside. So, like, this is only available while you're here within our specific environment. So when you go there, they walk over to it, it pulls up that specific content that's locked until you walk over to that piece of content. And that Bluetooth beacon sending out that information, and ADAPT does such a good job of just simply delivering that one piece. And again, and showing that overall steps and process. And again, from a mobile device standpoint, man, it is spot on. And the cool thing, again, with ADAPT is you have that ability to program it however you want. Whereas, again, using some of these other authoring tools that are out there, and again, I do use those other ones as well, it just doesn't always fit. And when you really need that customization, you need that ability to program it the way you need it to go, ADAPT just does a really great job in having that ability. You're not locked in place. And that's the key.
Yeah. So, talking about customization and locking stuff, like, you named two extensions that you use, which are the Search and Glossary, and these are both open source extensions which used in many projects and many ADAPT projects I've worked on. Do you have any of your own proprietary extensions that you're using, like the Bluetooth one, or is that dealt with in the back end somewhere else?
So that's dealt into the back end. We have our own platform called TDS, which is a technical delivery system, and we utilize ADAPT and an LRS and some other things that we've built into the platform that actually pull out. And so it doesn't only work with ADAPT, it does work with other tools as well. ADAPT just seems to be the easiest one for us to do it, because again, we have that ability to customize and build out.
So when you create these modules, like, are they micro modules? Are they like 5 minutes long? Are they very focused on a particular task, or are they longer ones? And do you make more use of the, you know, the hyperlink to a specific component that they can jump straight to the place?
It depends on the audience and depends on the, it depends on what the goal is of the project itself. So the answer is yes. And the answer is no, depending on the type of area. So I've got ones that are extremely long-winded and, you know, are, you know, 50 different sections. I also have ones that are 4 or 5 seconds, very small bite-sized pieces. And some that we even stack where we build out two different things. Like, this is the version that specifically goes to show you everything. And here's the more stacked out version of it. So you can go and make this more searchable as well, depending on how the delivery method is required.
The components you use when you're building this content, is it predominantly video? Or is it more text-based? Like, there is a trade-off between videos probably cost a bit more to film, and obviously, you know, they have higher production value, whereas text you can just kind of paste in and change a lot easier. Like, what do you your clients generally prefer?
So we're a big fan of the four-tier approach, essentially see, say, do, listen, like that kind of stuff. So everything we have, we always try to tell them, hey, you know, if you really want to make this beneficial, at least have an audio version of it as well. So everything can be read back as a worst case scenario. As a person with dyslexia, it's important for me to make sure I stress that people learn in different ways, and having the more options within a piece of learning, you're going to give more people the opportunity to educate themselves and learn. So video is one I do preach quite heavily, and interactive materials, again, depending on the type of client or the type of end users that are using it, all matter. So most of the content we build have heavy video, heavy interactive material, heavy audio. And text is definitely a part of that. Obviously, text is, I strongly preach, even if you have video, make sure you put the text in there as well of the transcript or any of that kind of stuff in there, because that's what's going to help you with the search to help people find those things as well.
So let's wrap up. Aaron, do you have any words? Do you want to say any shout outs or anything like that?
You know, guys, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. But, you know, also, I just also want to say thank you to all the work that you've done for me and my organization. To be honest, we wouldn't be as successful as we are with the companies we work with without people like you and Chuck. Like, we really appreciate all the different things you guys have done for us. That's the only reason we've actually been able to be successful using Adapt and other e-learning tools as well. So thank you.
That's nice of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Aaron. Bye.